Good evening, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We all know that we cannot survive without food, without clothing, without a shelter over our head. We know that the Lord is the one who provides. We know that the Lord can keep us alive without food and water, the way that He did for Moses. And Moses spent 40 days and 40 nights communing with God up on Mount Sinai. But more often than not, that's not how God keeps us alive. He uses food and water. He keeps us safe by giving to us a roof over our head. And for that reason, it is so hard for us to think of our own lives without food, without water, and without a home. And all these are made possible because we need money. Money is indispensable. It is said that money makes the world go round, as the world would like to sing this tune. And so it affects us. It impacts us. And our entire upbringing and our school system is geared in that direction as well. And we have people who made it good in this world with very little at the start of their lives, and now they are self-made multi-millionaire. And they're put on the pedestal for us to emulate, to follow. And they have started their own companies, and they've been invited even in primary schools to give talks, pep talks, on how you can also be driven and be motivated by money. Perhaps even gain or greed in order for us to experience the life of luxury and comfort, to have a roof over our head, not just a roof, a very big roof, a very expensive roof, and not just simply food and drink, but the kind that we like, the kind that is expensive, the kind that others could not eat or drink, but you can because you have the money. This is the gain that keeps bombarding us to get more and more and more. And so we have this warning, he that is greedy of gain. Who is the one that is greedy of gain? What is the identity of this person who wants more and more? Now the next part of this line, clause, troubleth his own house. This person is not a stranger. This person is someone we know. The Bible did not say he is the head of the house. He doesn't have to be the head of the house, even though it includes the head of the house. But he is someone that will stir up his own house. That is the identity of this troublemaker. It could be the son, it could be the daughter, it could be the wife, it could be the husband. Anyone in the house is included in this identity, because all you need is one of them in the house to be greedy of gain. They will stir up trouble, because the idea of the word trouble is to stir. It is as if everything was calm, everything was peaceful, everything was very still, like a pool of water. It is so reflective because there was not a single ripple. And then suddenly someone comes along, a naughty boy comes along and started to throw stones or get a stick and start to twirl or throw things in it. And then the whole calm water is now disturbed. This is the idea. It was calm. It was good. Until someone comes along and begins to stir it. And then trouble ensues in the home. Who is this troublemaker? Someone we know in our own home. And he has become greedy of gain. Greedy of gain. The Bible did not say, he that gains trouble his own house. We all will gain. That is the way of life. We have two types of possessions. The possession that we already have, which more often than not is not enough for tomorrow or for the next month or for the next year. And so we need more. That's the way of a farmer's life. That's the way of a shepherd's life. That's the way of all of our lives. But the possessions that we already have, we measure it, we look at it, we calculate it, not enough. We need more. So the Bible did not say gain, but trouble, but greedy of gain. And these two words are actually the same. One is in the verb form, that is greedy. The other one, gain, is in the noun form, but they mean the same. Actually, if you were to rephrase it, it simply means he that is greedy of greed. Same word, greedy of greed troubleth his own house. And this word greedy has a range. It's as if there is a person who is starting to be greedy. It's just a little bit like a person who just simply come out of school. He doesn't have much, but he wants. He's inexperienced. He experienced and understood the life of not enough, because pocket money from mom and dad, usually not enough. You give tuition, you do something else just to have a little bit more money to go by during your study life, still not enough. And so when you begin to start work, you are a little greedy. But you still do not have enough. But once you gain more and more, and then you still want some more. But now it's not a matter of not enough. This is a matter of greed now. You have more than enough, but you still want more. And then the other end of the spectrum of greed is you're prepared to do violence to get it now. In the beginning, it's just simply an emotion of wanting more, but you could not do anything else because you do not know anyone, you're inexperienced, you're just entering into the working world. But now that you are already established in your field of expertise, you have experience, you have connection, you know how things are done now in your field of expertise. Whatever it is, it could be any business, it could be any employment, but now you have become very familiar, you become an expert. And once you become an expert and you still have this greed, now you're prepared to cut corners. You're prepared to destroy others. You're prepared to sabotage. You're prepared to flatter. You're prepared to do whatever it takes. And that's the other end of the spectrum of greed, where you're prepared to do violence and destroy others just to get more. And that is the word that is used there. The other end of the spectrum. It's not just a very mild desire of wanting more where you don't hurt people. You just want to work hard for yourself and get more because you do not have. But it is a kind of expert who is very comfortable and knowledgeable in his field of work, whereby he has the power to manipulate, whereas the power to destroy and do violence to retain and hold on to what he already possessed, which is a lot, and he wants more because that lot is not enough. And he will hurt other people who stand in his way. And that is the word that is used there. And these are the people that the Bible says will destroy their own home. Is our home not supposed to be what we are working hard for? Is it not to provide for our families and our loved ones and our children? And for children, isn't that what you're supposed to do when your parents are aged and you're supposed to provide for them? And the people that we work hard to provide for have become the people that we trouble, that we turn their lives into misery. It does not make sense. We work hard, we want more. Is it not for them? Is it not to provide for our children, for our spouses, and for our moms and dads who are now not able to look after themselves, and we work hard for them? And then because of our greedy of gain, the people that we want to provide for are now the people that we disturb the most, that we ruin their lives the most. And that is the warning that God has given to us. Be careful of greedy of gain. The people that you think that you use as your motive for your diligence and for your sacrifices are now the same people that you are destroying. But that is how the devil works. That is the way the God of this world will continue to minister and work. Because that's how the Bible describes him as blinding the minds of those who do not understand. They blinded you. The devil has blinded you. And you think that this is a good thing because you use your family as the driving force for your vicious greed. And you are prepared to destroy everyone whom you think is hindering you from providing for your own home. Isn't that how people do things out in the world? Isn't that what you see over and over and over again? And hopefully you do not see that in yourself. Because if that has already happened, you are already in a very dangerous state for yourself and for your home. Because some homes are so badly devastated because this person had been doing this for decades. And now he has already reached the evening years of his life. Or he may have a lot of money in his bank account, but how did you get it? How many lives have you stepped on, and how many lives have you destroyed, and how many lies have you told to get what you want? And what do you have at home but trouble? More and more sadness and trouble. Because you thought that you could bring happiness to your home and peace in your home when you can provide a bigger house, more beautiful, more luxurious, and better holidays for your loved ones, for your children. But what you have given them in return at the end of your life, when you look back, only trouble. Your parents are saddened because they see you as a lover of the world, so consumed by your job that you're hardly at home, especially in the 21st century when many young people have to travel overseas. And when you travel overseas, they see that as a big sacrifice on your part, and they will entice you. And the carrot is usually bigger and sweeter when you go overseas than at home. They give you all the extra allowances. They provide you with a very big and nice house that you do not have in Singapore. And so you have them outside overseas in some distant land. You think all these things are very good and exciting. Yes, for a young person as he begins in life. But then if your parents are Christians, and if you have been brought up in the church, you think your parents will want you to be like that? If your parents are godly, your parents love the Lord Jesus Christ, your parents are close to the Lord, what they want from you is not more money from you. What they want from you is a holy life, a holy witness, a life that will shine brightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then all you have given to them would be more money, more holidays, bigger cars, bigger homes, everything. And on top of that, a big heartache. A big heartache. Because when they try to advise you, to counsel you, you won't listen. Because a life like this is not just a life without vices. You think when you live that kind of life, you will be delivered and you will be spared from all the vices, which will include gambling, drinking, smoking, and worse still, womanizing. Right? Womanizing. And then the sin of fornication may even characterize your life. And then your mom and your dad will weep and they will pray without ceasing. What had happened to our little one that we have brought up since birth? Through Sunday school, through all the education and studies, what has happened? And you say that you are working hard because you want to provide for your mom and dad, and then now you want to provide for your future family, which you do not have yet. And because of your waywardness, you find a life partner that will ruin you even more because of your carnality. You're not going to find a spiritual person. If you're a young man, you're not going to find a spiritual wife. And if you are a young lady, you're not going to find a spiritual husband, because a spiritual wife or husband will see through you. They will not want you. They want a spiritual life partner, and they see such a carnal person, they will say, no thanks. No thanks. But who will want you? People who love carnality. People who will marry you for your money and for your wealth. And then from one ruination, then you enter into a bigger ruination, because once you marry a person who is All they care about is your money and your finances. You are in serious trouble. Because marriage will turn your life forever, change it forever. And if you end up in divorce, now you're a single person. You're not just simply a single person. You're known as a divorcee. You know that. Not a single person. Before you marry, you're a single person. You fill in your personal particulars under marital status, single. But after your life in marriage is ruined because you will continue to have big houses, big this and big that, but what happened? Your house is full of trouble because you marry a person who is just as carnal as you, and when two carnal people live together and they have children, the children will also be carnal. It will be a nightmare. It will be a storm, not just a small little trouble. This will be capital T trouble. And have you not read that enough in the newspaper? Of so many of these rich family, rich people, multi-millionaire, divorced one after another, repeated over and over again, and then they have children through so many different wives. And yet we still don't learn. We're surrounded by testimonies and evidence of people whose lives have been troubled because of greedy of gain. And yet, we think we are going to be different. We are not. We are not going to be different because the Bible is never wrong. This is a warning. You want to have a home that is peaceful. Children, love the Lord. Parents, fear the Lord. Children do not want a bigger house from you, father and mothers who are Christians. Children want you to be holy and godly and give them a place, a home that they can come back to that is safe and secure, especially when your children are very young. You know the world out there is a dangerous place for all children, and it is getting from bad to worse. If in Singapore the law against homosexuality is repealed, what do you think our school system will be like? Just have a look at the school system in some Western countries that allow and accept and promote homosexuality as an alternate way of life. The school books will change. Families will be defined no longer as a man and a woman and a couple of children. It will include now man, woman, and children, plus man, and children, woman, and children, and many other things as well. And what do you think it will happen to your sons and daughters when they go to school and these are the books that they're going to be bombarded with? And not only that, they're going to have classmates and friends whose parents are two males and two females, and then their children will interact with them. And then they're very nice people. And if you tell them that this is not right, that is not right, and they go down there to school and during their recess time, and they're going to say all these things, what do you think will happen to them? They are going to be bullied, ostracized, worse still, reported to the school because the school accepted them. And why are you now teaching your children that this is wrong? The chaos will continue. And the home is supposed to be the only sanctuary other than the church. The church is not up to you. It depends on a lot more people to make it into a peaceful, safe, morally righteous and godly environment. But your home, it depends entirely upon you. It's your home. Fathers and mothers, is your home godly, holy, and the morality and the spirituality are all according to scriptures? Because your children need that. More today than at any time in the history of the church, because Christianity has fallen away. Not only do we have the world against us, we also have many millions of professing believers against us as well. And if we do not provide our home that is sound and good and safe, a sanctuary of peace for our children, but instead we become the culprit that will stir and disturb the home, because mom and dad will quarrel. When either one party is carnal, you know quarrel will follow very closely behind. If the wife is very spiritual and the husband is not, you know how miserable it is for the wife to obey you? Your wife wants to obey a husband that is spiritual because she knows what is the teaching of the Bible. She knows what is the right thing to do that will please her Lord and her Heavenly Father. But she also wants to obey you because you are the head of the home, as she has also been taught by the Word of God to do. And so she will continue to be in a flux because she will obey you. Sometimes she will speak up, but then when you respond and react in anger and you tell her to shut up, and then you shall cool and your temper because of your ego and your pride. And so she will keep quiet. But she will obey you with tears, with weeping, with sorrow, all because you are greedy of gain. And you think that what your family needs would be and the extra dollar, that extra million. They don't. What they want is you. What they want from you is godliness and holiness and peace in the home. That the one who is greedy of gain can never ever provide. If you think that more money and more luxury and more goods can provide you with peace, you have been deceived by the God of this world. Don't you know that the more things you have, the more problems you have? Because everything that we have on earth, other than Christ, will obey the second law of thermodynamics. It will decay. It will ruin. True? Everything. Our shirt, you bought it brand new. But soon, after a while, it's going to decay. Either you send to the tailor to mend it, or you dump it and buy new ones. Your car, beautiful, brand new. After a while, you will have to send it for checking to make sure that VICOM test, right? That you emit good, proper, whatever, carbon monoxide that will not pollute the air. It will decay. Everything that you have, your brand new handphone, your watches, everything, no exception, that is of this earth, will decay. So the more you have, the more headaches, the more problems you have. The less you have, the less headaches. So please do not think that the more you have, the better your life will be. The more you have, the more problems you will have. And the worst part is, you trouble your own home when you are supposed to be the protector of your own home, when you're supposed to be the one who will keep the home out of trouble, free from trouble, but you become the troublemaker yourself. And then when your children comes home and they see mom and dad quarreling, they already found their school life miserable, difficult enough because of the bullying, because of all the problems and all the struggles of studies in Singapore, the pressure, actually all over the world. And now when they come home, it's supposed to be safe. It's supposed to be peaceful. It's supposed to be a place where they feel very, very comfortable, secure. But then when mom and dad quarrel nonstop, children will cry. When mom and dad lose it and they started to shout at each other and lose their cool and throw tantrum at each other, and the children just sit there and watch and weep and cry. And all because one person in the home who is the head of the house and the wife who is the helpmeet, either one, greedy of gain, you trouble your own house. Not an outsider. If there's an outsider who wants to trouble your house, we understand. Because that's an outsider. He is outside. He will try to break in. That's a thief. That's a robber. He will come in and trouble. But when it is us, our own home, how could that ever be? Why would one of us, why would any one of us, any father or mother want to do that to their own home? It's supposed to be the people that we love the most. It's the people that we are supposed to protect and provide. And yet we become the troublemaker because we are greedy of gain. And we destroy other people's lives in order to get it. I'm not sure whether you remember this man. It was published in Straits Times in 2011. This article, February the 15th. It was revealed that Army Captain King Kok Kyong agreed to harass other debtors in return for having his own debts reduced. This was a picture of him. An army captain who also became a loan shark runner pleaded guilty on Monday to 4 charges of harassment for vandalizing the homes of alleged debtors. 17 other charges against 34-year-old King Kok-kyung will be taken into consideration when he is sentenced on Tuesday. According to local media reports, the army captain had gambled away at the Resorts World Sentosa Casino and resorted to borrowing money from an illegal moneylender. Investigations revealed that he had owed money to a loan shark known only as Asing and agreed to harass other debtors in return for having his debt reduced by $2,000 every month. King scribbled the victim's name and identity card on the wall and scrawled some symbols meaning owe money, pay money. He also squeezed super glue into padlocks on the gate of the flat in Commonwealth Crescent. However, the logistics officer then returned to the flat an hour later after he realized he had left his cigarettes there. The 43-year-old occupant of the flat guessed King was the culprit and caught him before handing him over to the police. They found 3 tins of paint in his possession, as well as a bottle of thinner and 2 cell phones, tools typically used by loan shark runners. The court was not told how much he owed, but his lawyer said King had built up losses after visiting the casino at Resort World, Sentosa. After continuous harassment by Asing's runners, the army captain agreed to be a runner himself. For King, both his family and 14-year career in the SAF are in ruins. Since he was remanded in October, Asing's men had harassed his family by scribbling on walls, throwing paint, and using superglue to destroy keyholes and padlocks, the very things he used to do. Now, it happened to his own home, his family. This drove his Taiwanese wife to walk out of the marriage and return to Taiwan with their children aged 5 and 7, said the lawyer. King, who earned $5,000 a month, will also be dismissed from the army. Pleading for a lighter sentence, his lawyer said that King had never been in trouble with the law before and had served the army honorably before this incident. He had also been commended, but the documents to prove this were unavailable. The lawyer said this was because King's parents were afraid to collect them from his flat in Yishun Avenue 6, which was being practically besieged by Asing's runners. Those convicted of harassment can be jailed for up to 5 years and fined between $5,000 and $50,000 on each charge. If the property is damaged, they will be given 3 to 6 strokes of the cane. What was the punishment? I do not know. But he was a captain until he started gambling. Greedy of gain, lost everything. Life savings, perhaps. Borrowed money from loan shark. Bank's not going to lend you. And his life was ruined. Ended up in prison. I'm sure he was found guilty. It all started greedy of gain. Because that's what gambling is, right? You won lots of money with no work. You just gamble. Pure greed. That's gambling. $5,000 a month as a captain. I'm sure he must be regretting it. If only I had never set foot in RWS. If only, right? If only I've never set foot. If only. His life will continue on as a captain. He will still have a home. His wife will be there. His 2 children will be there. But now, all gone. His career is gone. Wife left him. Children left him. Literally, all gone. And all because greedy of gain. You think he was the only one? There are plenty of them out there. So many in different ways. But all of them started with greedy of gain, and they prepared to do violence. And what happened? The very home that you said you want to provide for by your diligence, you became the exact person to disturb. And in his case, he destroyed. What did he want more money for? What do you work so hard for as a husband, as a father, to provide for the family? But what happened? He destroyed his own family, not the moneylenders' runners. He destroyed the family. Not outsiders. He, in his own home, as head of the family, he destroyed it. Solution? The cure for the troublemaker? But he that hateth gifts shall live. That's the cure. The Bible did not say, but he that loveth his home. You think he did not love his home? I'm sure he loved his home. I'm sure he loved his wife and his children. But that is not God's solution, is it? The Bible did not say, love your wife and your children and you will not succumb to the problem of greedy of gain. I'm sure everyone who is greedy of gain would say, honestly, in all sincerity, I did it for my wife, I did it for my children, I did it for my family. And so the love of family is not the solution. You have to hate gifts. The Bible did not say hate gains. Hate gifts. And this word gift, sometimes in the Old Testament, is translated as simply present. You know present? Birthday present? Don't even like and long for birthday present. So when your birthday comes, wow, my birthday comes, wow, I'm longing for my present. Don't have that longing. These are all the little signs that greedy of gain may come next. The same word is also used to describe a sacrificial offering. That means don't use God as an excuse, in other words. Don't say that, well, I want to get more so that I can offer to God. Like some people, I want to go and buy this 4D or whatever so that I can strike it rich and then I give 10%. Strike it rich and you give 10%. So you keep 90, is it? Oh, then you put God into the picture so you can what? Make it so noble as you queue up to buy the digit or whatever, lottery, whatever it is. You know, I'm doing it for the Lord. I'm queuing up for the Lord. It's under the hot sun. I'm suffering for the Lord. Queue up. And then when your turn comes, you buy and then you pray some more. Lord, please help me get the $3 million. Please help me get. And I'm going to give you 10% or I'm not 20%. 20%. So you get 80%. 80% of 3 million is about how many million left? 3 times 8, 24. 2.4 million. Wow, 2.4. You give God only 600,000. Give God more. See whether you queue up or not. Give God 100%. See whether you still queue up. Lord, if I strike it rich, I give you all. God, I won't queue up so hard, no, God. No, no need, God. It's so hot. I don't have the greedy of gain. You see? Don't hide behind some noble, Christ-like motive to commit a transgression. So this word give includes sacrificial offering. And then, of course, bribes. Same word. Bribes. You know what are bribes, right? When we were in architecture during our fourth year, we have to take a lesson on all this. The bylaws, the laws, teaching us to be very careful concerning bribery. Still remember, if a contractor knocks on your door, Chinese New Year time, and then they give to you this beautiful, expensive, five-figure hi-fi set, please say no, thank you. But if he insists, this is just a gift, no strings attached, just a gift, all the more you better say, no, thank you. No strings attached. Next time when you don't get the contract, all he needs to do is to write a letter to CPIB, and then you're going to get a knock on your door, and then you are going to be interviewed by some IO. You know what's IO, right? Investigating officer that you do not like. Then they will tell you, on that day, during this Chinese New Year, did you receive that five-figure hi-fi set? Yes. Gonna. You go to jail. Bribe. Very common. They call it by different names, coffee money, under the table money, whatever they want to call it, the bottom line is bribe. And the Bible says you want to fix it, you make sure that you want to avoid disturbing your own home and make sure that the greedy of gain will never be part of your life. God says you got to hate. Hate, huh? Not just love a little bit. Hate is a very powerful emotion, just as powerful as love. Hate. Hate gives. Hate it. You ever hated something before in your life? What are the things in your home that you hate other than the cockroaches? Cockroaches not yours actually, they're uninvited guests, okay? I cannot use lizard because I know some people like lizard. Right, so cockroach. Cockroach, I think, is really, what is the good thing about cockroach? Maybe some people who love insects, but somebody with Bachelor of Insectology or whatever it is, can tell us, what's the good thing about cockroach? Because I think everybody hates cockroach. They see them flying, they scream, and yeah, even though they're so tiny. Even the tiny little ones don't even have wings yet. We can't stand it. We want to get it off it, and then you will spray half the bottle of your Baygon on it. It's a small little bug, but you until the thing cannot move anymore. Right? Now, other than these things that you hate, but what are the things that you own that you hate? Anything in your house that you hate? Anything? Because Jesus said to us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can be slave to two masters. Either he will love the one and hate the other, or he will hold on to the one and despise the other. No man can love God and mammon. So the two masters are identified in the last part of that verse. God and mammon. Mammon means all the things material that we are greedy of gain of. So God said the same thing concerning this verse. God supports this verse. Jesus supported this verse. You either hate it or else it's going to grip you, and greedy of gain will follow. You're going to hate it. The things in our home that we hate, I'm sure, would be what you find inside your dustbin. True? Rotting, smelly, stinking food you hate. I think a couple or two or three church camps ago, when we were in the church camp, there was a blackout in my HDB flat. All the food, all my ice cream, all my meat in my fridge, all turned bad. I realized that at the start of the camp, because we went there on Saturday because I had to speak at Calvary Jaya. In our home, we have this camera so I can check, you know, see who is in the house, that kind of thing. So on Saturday, I checked, it was okay. My family, we were all in Jaya by the time already. So on Sunday, I checked. Not so okay. Nothing, you know. Because I was told that there was a storm. And I know that in my house at the time, the moment there's a lightning, the thing will trip. Many times already. Lightning only trip. Then people who have not been to the camp say, wow, bad storm, got lightning. I say, Daya. My wife already in Jaya. My children are in Jaya. And then I check on Monday. Maybe not. Something wrong. I checked on Monday morning. First thing in the morning, I checked. Still cannot get, you know. Saturday was fine. I can see. That means the electricity, that means the current must have tripped. So no more Wi-Fi. I cannot have any contact. Then I did not tell my wife. Or maybe I did not tell. I dare not tell my wife. Because I'm not sure. Maybe I'm wrong, you see. What for disturb her? Because we're already in KL, the camp is about to start on Monday. Tell her no use, and then she'll be worried, right? So on Saturday, we were driving back after the end of the camp. Our children decided to fly home. Very nice, fly home. Then in my heart, I still didn't tell my wife. And then at the causeway, Tuas Causeway, there was a bad jam. Then I did some mental calculation. I think my children will arrive home earlier than us. And true enough, they arrived home, you know. Then, when we were still stuck at the immigration, then I received a WhatsApp from them. I said, Daya. Then they texted, Maha, the house. They entered in.
They sent us picture, Zach and Elena. They covered their faces with all the masks and all that. Thank God they were there first to clean up for us. So by the time we got home, I think they were already home for about an hour or two. But the stench was still there. And the stench was there for some time. I got to buy so many of all these, you know, those things that absorb smell, you know. I put it in the fridge. I put it almost everywhere of the house because the fridge inside was smelly. It was rotting food. It was rotting meat, you know. Just imagine, I think it's like a dead body smell kind of thing. I used to own those stuff. I paid lots of money for the meat to put in the freezer. But after 1 week, everything melted and then the whole thing rotted and the whole house smelled for I don't remember how long. And I hated it. And now my children also hate. And my wife said, I told you to go and fix it. I don't know how. Then I called HDB. The HDB said, if the problem is outside, we will fix it, we will pay for it. But the problem is inside, you go to find a contractor and we can recommend. So I called, the guy came in, when an hour, paid I think 150 bucks, he fixed it. So easy. I should have done it earlier, but I did not. So now I can use this as an illustration. So something good can come out of it. Rotting food we once owned, and God says, now I want you to look at all your belongings like you're looking at rotting, decaying, smelly food. Then you hate it. That's how God wants us to look at gifts. Whether it is a present, whether it is for offering, or whether it is a bribe, whatever nature it is, as long as it is something that is given to you that you do not work hard for, you better be careful. If you work hard for it, like a farmer working hard, and then you have all this wonderful harvest, you work hard for it, fine. But still be careful of greed. Because God knows that you and I need food and water to survive. The Lord knows that. You and I need a roof over our head to be safe from the environment. The Lord knows. But the Lord is not talking about the reward that you do after a hard labor. These are gifts that you did not work for it. It is given to you. Whether it is as a present, whether it is for spiritual purposes, for offering, or whether it is a bribe, you hate them. Therefore, whether they come or don't come, it's okay. Because when people give you things like this, you better be careful. They are going to get something from you. They want something from you. Be careful. And if you have this desire for them and you don't hate them, one day it will succeed. All you need is one moment of weakness and your 10 years of perseverance and resistance will be vanity. It will be inconsequential because that moment of weakness will ruin all your 10 years of witness. Because it can happen to us at any time, in any part and any phase of our lives, greedy of gain. But we don't have the strength to hate it, do we? But in Christ, Jesus says, you can and you must. That's why Jesus gave us the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6:24. Because that is one of the clearest evidence of a person who is born again in relation to his possessions. No man can serve two masters. When we were unbelievers, we served mammon. But now that we are a child of God, we must serve God. And to serve God, God says, in relation to your possessions, you must now love God and hate mammon. So that you will never seek after them, so that you will never let mammon be your motivation for work, for study. The motivation for work and study as a child of God is the love for your Savior. And only those who have truly experienced salvation in Christ Jesus, those who have experienced the forgiveness of sin, the deliverance from the bondage of sin, can hate gifts. And then the Bible says, you will surely live. And this is not just living on this earth, 70 years. This is eternal life. And that is why we know that this verse is not just simply describing living on earth in peace, but living in eternity in peace with God. Because only Jesus Christ can enable us to hate mammon, Because by our own strength, by our own sinful nature, we just don't have the ability to do so. Because the power of the attractions of this world is too great. And we're not talking about one moment, we're not talking even about a week or a month, but the rest of your life, you must free yourself from the greed of gain. You think you have the strength to have that kind of willpower that will last you for 70 years, 80 years? No. Only God can. The moment you are in Christ, the Spirit of God dwells in you. All your sins have been forgiven. You know that you are no longer in bondage to sin and bound for death and hell. You are now in Christ, forgiven because Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and you are now a new person in Christ. And because of the new person in Christ, God has given you a new mind, a new heart with new desires. And because of this new heart, new desire, and the Spirit of God dwelling in you, you will have the ability to hate gifts, mammon, and love God. All Christians can. And the book of Proverbs is a book for believers, and therefore this is for the Christian. Are you a Christian? All you need to be a Christian is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came down from heaven to die on the cross for your sins and to deliver you from the bondage of sin and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. That's the only way. And he rose from the dead for your justification, to defeat death on your behalf. All you need is to believe in him and accept him as your Lord and your Savior. And the greedy of gain that will trouble your own home will become a thing of the past. For in Christ Jesus, he will bring peace back into your life and into your home. And you will have the strength and the conviction to hate gifts. And you will live forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee that in Christ Jesus, we can overcome the greediness of gain in our lives. Help us, O Lord, to understand that as children of the Most High God, you have equipped us with the indwelling of the Spirit of God, with the Word of Life, with the mind of Christ, and with the love of Christ in our heart as our new motive, that we are able, by thy grace and thy mercies, to hold on to the peace that we have in our home. That greediness of gain will no longer haunt us and cripple us, but we will have the wisdom and the conviction in our hearts to hate all kinds of gifts, so that what we have will be a love for our Savior and the fear of God in our hearts. That is the beginning of wisdom that will keep us always in the path of holiness and righteousness. We pray, Lord, that you will be gracious and merciful to speak to all of us who are your children, especially sons and daughters, that they will not stray away from the path of holiness that they have learned from mom and dad. And for every parent, that we will not be greedy of gain. For what our children need from us the most is to have a holy and a godly and a righteous home, and not more materialism, but more of holiness and more of the presence of God at home in their lives. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and we pray for some who continue to struggle with the sin of gain and the greed of gain. Help them, O Lord, to be delivered, and only in Christ Jesus can they experience the strength and the power of this deliverance. And may this be their heart's cry and their heart's desire, and may they be convicted to turn to the Savior and find salvation in Christ Jesus, so rich and so free. And that's all we need in these last days, the fullness of salvation in Christ Jesus, so that we may avoid the sin of the greedy of gain that have already ruined so many homes and so many lives. May our homes and our lives be preserved, protected, and be kept intact by thee. For Jesus' sake, hear our cry. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.